It's Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night. It is finally Friday. It's 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com. We are always streaming on the 101.3 ESPN app, and that's a free download for you in the Apple Store, in the Google Play Store. And now you can find us on the Amazon Echo very easily. If you're using that Amazon Echo or Echo Dot, just say enable 101.3 ESPN. And after you've enabled us one time, well, then all you have to say is open 101.3 ESPN. We go up until 6:25, and it is Red Sox baseball taking on the Orioles. Alex Cobb's on the mound for the visitors, and Drew Pomeranz is on the mound for the homestanding Bo Sox. We'll get you those lineups in about 15 minutes. Aaron's here pushing the buttons, and he's got Sports Saturday with Jeff and Bernie and the crew as well tomorrow. Aaron, what's going on?
Not much. You?
Any big plans this weekend?
Oh, I'm seeing Deadpool 2 tomorrow.
I've heard about it. What is that about?
It's like, he's a Marvel superhero, but he's not really a hero. He's more of like an insane person.
Is it like the what's the superhero movie that just came out?
Infinity Wars.
Yeah, Infinity Wars. Is it?
It's kind of a spoof of that. It's like he's breaks the fourth wall all the time, and he's more dirty and crude than the rest of the Marvel.
Are you a comic book guy?
Not really.
Okay.
But I do like the Marvel movies a lot.
It's not that I'm not a comic book guy. I'm just not much of a movie guy. And the reason why, and we've said this before, the reason why my Seinfeld knowledge can be what it is because I can watch four episodes of Seinfeld in the time it takes anybody to watch a movie. So I've just gotten in the habit over and over and over again of watching sitcoms, and a lot of them the same. Whether it's Seinfeld, Friends, The Big Bang Theory, I've got all of those episodes down by heart. And again, it's not that I don't like movies. I just don't follow movies all that well. By the 40-minute mark, I'm the guy poking the guy next to me saying, wait, who's that guy? That's the same guy from the beginning? That guy was a good guy? This is also a Seinfeld bit, but it stands true to me. That's the same guy from the beginning? I thought he was a good guy. Oh, he wasn't really a good guy. I thought they were together. Oh, that's the same woman from the beginning. That's how I am with movies. So it just gets frustrating for me. So that is why I largely stick with shorter segmented television shows. I am going to have I know it's going to be a fun night, but it's an interesting night. So I was telling this a little bit in the huddle. There's a guy who I went to high school with, and we're the same age and graduated same year, class of 2008, from a big high school in the Albany, New York area. And he hit me up a couple weeks ago with a Facebook message, and he said, hey, man, I just heard you on the radio for the first time, and I live in Burlington, and we should get together sometime. And it wasn't that we weren't friends in high school. It was just like we had a lot of the same friends because we were both athletes. He played hockey and lacrosse. I played baseball and basketball. So we had a lot of the same friends, and a lot of our friends are friends, with each other. And it just so happens that we didn't really connect in high school, on more than a few occasions. But now we're getting together tonight, and it's been 10 years since we've talked outside of a couple text messages in the last couple weeks setting it up. He's bringing his wife. I'm bringing Jess. And we're going to go downtown and reconnect. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be a chance to talk about some of the old guys from high school, guys who I haven't thought about in 10 years. And I'm sure I'm going to talk about guys he hasn't thought about in 10 years, find out what each other's been up to. And anytime I can find a fellow Shenandoah graduate up here, it's going to be a good time. So looking forward to it. It'll be a fun weekend.
Nice.
So as for what's coming up on the show today, remember, you can get in 802-655-6672. We've got some notes on the Patriots, some notes on who I think is now becoming the most interesting guy in sports, and we'll get to the Red Sox lineups as well. But first, I don't want to rush away the Celtics season. I want to enjoy what we've got, and we've got Game 3 tomorrow. But I find myself thinking about the Celtics' future. And I caught myself looking at mock drafts today. I caught myself looking at NBA mock drafts on CBS and on Sports Illustrated. And a couple notes to myself. I just jotted down some thoughts on the Celtics' future. One, I really do wonder what's going to happen next season when everybody's healthy. When Kyrie Irving is here and Gordon Hayward is here and Al Horford is here, and they're all making elite money. And especially in Hayward's case and Irving's case, you know they're coming back in here to start. You know they're coming back in here to score. That's what they're paid to do, and that's how good they are. They're all-star level players. And in Kyrie's case, he's a gold medalist and an NBA champion. You have a lot of players that have filled in admirably in bigger roles than they were expecting to this year, whether it's Terry Rozier, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Aaron Baines. It doesn't matter who it is. A lot of players in the Celtics have stepped up. And I just wonder, how does that all fit together next year? I don't mean to be the cynic, but we talk about, you know, Arnie's biggest complaint about the Patriots is that they have four or five running backs. And he goes, if you got five running backs, you don't have one. And I defend it because in football, I think that it's okay to have kind of that segmented position where everybody's got a specialized role. Well, you know what? You don't need four point guards that are all going to get 20 shots a game. That's not going to happen. So what is it going to look like next year for the Celtics? When Gordon Hayward is there, is Jason Tatum, a guy who started, you know, every game but one or two in the regular season for the Celtics, going to be okay with coming off the bench and going from 14 points a game and stunting his development to getting less minutes so Gordon Hayward can get it? Is Jaylen Brown going to feel that way? Is Terry Rozier, a guy who has become a marketing guru out of these playoffs for his play and the whole Scary Terry thing, is he going to be okay taking a back seat to Hayward and Irving yet again? And a guy who has been one of the key figures of this playoff run, is he going to be okay with playing 16 minutes a game? How does Brad Stevens, we've given Brad Stevens a lot of praise for how he's handled this team in the face of adversity. Well, how does he handle all that? There's a lot of questions to be asked, and I promise you, enjoy this year's Celtics. Enjoy this run, because next year is going to be interesting at the very least. I'm not going to say that it's going to be bad, but it is going to be interesting. And I saw somebody today tweet out, Adam Kaufman, who's a big-time Celtics reporter. He said, the story of the Celtics offseason to me is what happens with Marcus Smart, who's a restricted free agent, and what happens with Terry Rozier. Terry Rozier is a free agent after next season. Are they going to sign him and Kyrie Irving long term to good money? I don't know that there's room for that with Gordon Hayward and Al Horford on the books. Are you going to trade Terry Rozier a year early and lose what he's brought to this team? There's a lot of questions about next year's Celtics. And again, I don't want to be the cynic because this year's Celtics have been so fun. But there's questions about ego and about roles and about getting people to buy in and embrace things that those are going to be real questions next year. And then I look at the mock drafts and I think to myself, this Celtics team needs what? What does this team need? In my mind, they need a scoring big man. If you could have a wish list for the Celtics, it would start with me at a scoring big man, a guy who can rebound well too. Al Horford is a great passer. He is not a traditional big man. Aaron Baines is a good defender and provides some meat and some muscle. He is not a scorer. You know, he's hit some threes in this offseason, but by and large, he's not a scorer. I would love for this team to have a Marvin Bagley. Now, that's not going to happen with where he is in the draft, you know, projected between anywhere between 1 and 5, but I would like a scoring big man. So I see all these, you know, draft prognostications that have the Celtics taking guards. And I think to myself, Gordon Hayward, Kyrie Irving, Terry Rozier, Shane Larkin, I don't know that the Celtics need more guards. So if they take a guard, does that mean they have a plan to ship out somebody? It's just very interesting that I go in thinking the Celtics could use another big body to play defense down low and get rebounds and could score, and everybody thinks that they're going with another backcourt piece when they've got those in spades to me. I just don't know how it's going to work out. It is Champlain Valley Game Night. It is 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com on this Friday. Red Sox lineups 5 minutes from now. You know, the guy who has become, remember the Dos Equis commercials, Aaron, where it was the most interesting man in the world?
Yeah.
The most interesting man in baseball to me has become Sonny Gray of the Yankees. And that's so odd because Sonny Gray doesn't speak a lot in the media. He's not flashy. He's not exuberant. He doesn't call attention to himself. But just trying to figure out Sonny Gray's mindset and how he operates has become incredibly fun for me and incredibly interesting. So there's a story today in The Athletic about Sonny Gray and his struggles, and he's got an ERA of, you know, 6-plus still, even despite a couple of good starts against Houston and against somebody else after Houston, whoever came right after Houston. He has struggled, by and large. And we talked about, well, is it his mindset? Is it the Yankees pitch calling? And Sonny Gray doesn't even know what it is. And to hear Sonny Gray talk and to hear people talk about Sonny Gray, they talk about how he is a tinkerer. He will try to fix things. He's in his head. And it doesn't mean that he overthinks things, but it just means that he is a guy whose mind is constantly churning. This is a really smart guy. Went to Vanderbilt, you know, one of the best academic schools in the country. And if you think, you know, he only got in there because of baseball, then you're wrong. He's a smart guy. He is a tinkerer. He is a thinker. And again, you hope he's not an overthinker. And he says he's not an overthinker, and I hope not, because they used to tell it to me, and they would say it was one of the worst things you could be. Paralysis by analysis. I was somebody who, I never looked at things as good and bad. There's good and bad in everything you do. This show has had a lot of things that I think are going well. This show has had things that I wish I would have done differently. There's good and bad in everywhere. I used to evaluate things only as good or bad. And I would walk, you know, I'd walk away from something. Did I throw a complete game? Did we win? Then it's great. But if I went 5 innings, gave up 4 runs, and we still won, I would say it was terrible because I didn't feel like I did my job, even though I kept us in the game enough to win. And those feelings just ate at me. And everything was, okay, I'm going to go and work harder. When I threw bad, I wanted to go out and throw a bullpen the next day and figure out what went wrong to the point where my arm would hurt. And that's not the right way to do things. I wanted to go and run 4 miles after I pitched when I didn't do well as a punishment and as a way to clear my head. But I could not clear my head. Living inside your own head, whether it's with insecurities or overthinking, is probably the worst thing that you can do as an athlete. I used to envy the guys that would say, see ball, hit ball. I wasn't that guy. I was the guy who, if I wanted to try to pick the signs, I wanted to pick it out of his hand, I wanted to watch video on things. That's what I wanted, because I just couldn't stop thinking. And I would go to bed the night before terrified. I would play through these scenarios in my head of the worst possible scenarios. What if I walk the leadoff guy? What if I get down 1-0? What if I give up a leadoff homer? What if I give up 2 in the first inning? How long's my leash today? What if I walk a couple of guys? And when you start thinking in the terms of what can go wrong, then things go wrong. And that was the worst. I've talked to you guys a lot about my affinity for sports psychology and my affinity for mental conditioning, and I've gotten really good at understanding things now. And it's the biggest regret of my athletic career was that I couldn't get out of my own head and I couldn't figure out a way out of my own head. So when I read about Sonny Gray, he says he's not in his own head. He says he's not an overthinker. But I read the things that he's done, and he's got a personal catcher and he's going to change his delivery and, you know, pitch usage and different pitch grips. It starts to feel to me like a guy who can't get out of his own way sometimes, rather than just trusting what he has. And what he has is a 92 to 94 mile an hour fastball and one of the best curveballs in baseball. But when you are pitching on the defensive and you're thinking what can go wrong, that is a dark place to be, and it's not a fun place to be. And, you know, one of his old catchers, Stephen Vogt, who's his old catcher in Oakland, now plays for the Brewers, said he thinks he might be the hardest guy to catch in all of baseball, because every day something new is happening with him. His ball's moving in a different way, and he's trying something different. And it's just hard to get on his same page with Sonny Gray. So when you talk about Gary Sanchez and Austin Romine, the guys who are the catchers for the Yankees, and you wonder why he's not throwing as well, it's hard to get to know guys. So I like Sonny Gray. Even when he was on the A's and he was a rival of the Mariners, I enjoyed watching Sonny Gray play. But it is just frustrating, or it's not frustrating, it's sad for me to read stories about a guy who is searching for answers and is constantly tinkering to find them, because I know that that's not a fun place to be. All right, Aaron, let's get those Red Sox lineups. Give me that music that's on that button bar. It's at the very bottom in the navy blue, and it says MLB on Fox or something like that. It's one of the very bottom things.
Okay, I see it.
Let's get it. All right, Orioles come into Boston 13-30. They take on the Red Sox 30-14. Alex Cobb, you talk about a pitcher who can't get out of their own way. 0-5 with a 7.06 ERA, looking for his first win with the O's. Now in his eighth start, he allowed 7 earned when he pitched against the Sox at Fenway back in April. The lineup behind him, Trey Mancini's in left field, 264. Adam Jones is in center. By the way, Adam Jones just bought Cal Ripken's mansion, 10 bedrooms and a batting cage. He's hitting 253. Manny Machado's at short, 339, 14 homers and 40 RBIs. Jonathan Scope hitting 240. He's at second. Mark Trumbo is the DH, the longtime Angel, Diamondback, and Mariner. Chris Davis is at first, hitting just 170. Danny Valencia is at third. Joey Rickard is in right, and Andrew Susak for the second straight day does the catching behind home plate. For the Sox, Pomeranz 1-1 with a 5.47 ERA. He struggled his last time out, walking 5 in just 4 innings. Mookie Betts leads off. He's in right. Andrew Benintendi's in left, 269. 3 homers, 23 RBIs as he starts to increase his production. Hanley Ramirez is the first baseman, 287, 6-29. JD Martinez back in the lineup today. Cleanup spot, DH, 344. Xander Bogaerts is at short. Rafael Devers at third. Eduardo Nunez at second. Jackie Bradley Jr. in center, 167, 2 homers, 9 RBIs, 4 steals. Christian Vasquez is the catcher, hitting just 179. Aaron, that's it for the lineups. What's coming up on Sports Saturday tomorrow?
Coming up tomorrow on Sports Saturday, we got Kyle Kelly, assistant to football operations for the Cleveland Browns at 10:22. And we got Jordan Greer, NBA editor for Sporting News at 10:40.
So looking forward to that. And you've got your new game, Hot or Not, as well. So Jeff, he's back from his vacation. He's going to be filling in with Austin Danforth tomorrow, who's in for Bernie. You'll be there as well. That's Sports Saturday with the guys from 10 to noon. That will do it for us. Thank you, everybody, for listening today. Remember, Sports Saturday tomorrow on the app or on the Amazon Echo. Just enable 101.3 ESPN. Red Sox baseball is coming up about 10 seconds from now as we send you out towards Fenway Park. Remember, NHL hockey tonight, 7:45 on AM 960 The Zone. Have a great weekend, everybody, and stay dry. We'll see you Monday.